D-H-Z, go!
I used to say I'm the boss. Dave Heath and Ethan Tomas.
Oh, thank you. I know I look good.
I would say that the boss, they bring real information. If you don't know, I'm saying
they working on an exit strategy for me.
Really?
Really?
These boys bring it on real.
Recording live from the SEC Sports Pub, here's Heath Elson-Son, Tomas Mauricio, and your host, David Romero.
Hey.
He's back!
Uh-huh.
Saints. B's and B-Boys.
There it is. Welcome in another week, another edition. The BS and Beer podcast crew recording live from the SEC Sports Pub. With me, to my right, Heath Elson-Son. To my left, Tomas Mauricio. The guy.
He doesn't need
facts. He got opinions.
That's right.
I'm Dave Romero, and I'm your host. And for the next hour, plus some bonus coverage.
That's right. Don't forget.
We're going to be talking more Saints and useless information than anyone needs to know about. So, from Reston to Monroe, Farmerville to Jonesboro, grab a drink, sit back, relax, because we're about to do the SEC Sports Pub and 97.7 Sports Talk Radio, BS and Beer style. Guys, I come back. I got some lawyers in the room. They have an exit strategy. Dewey Cheatham and Howe is already in the room. 1 week I'm gone. They already pushing me out the door.
That's right.
You know, take a visit. That's the last time I'm going to Vegas.
Well, I'm so sorry. We rather enjoyed it. Tell
I
you
know.
Truth.
That's what I hear. Y'all having fun. That kind of hurt my feelings.
I tell you
bit.
What. We trade with you. You do the show. We'll go to Vegas.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? I tell you what. I've learned. I'm more of a Key West guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Vegas thing. I tell you what. I did win. I won $80.
$80.
And I did the what is it, a pub crawl. I did from one side of the strip to the other.
The other side,
and I made it most of the way. I made it most of the way. The important part of the way.
That $80 buy you what? Two drinks in Vegas?
No, man. Oh no, you're not kidding. You know I like tequila, so I usually get tequila and a beer just to have something in my hand.
Yeah.
$22. I'm like, what? I was like, what?
What kind of tequila they were serving there, buddy?
Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, so
must have been that George Clooney tequila.
I drink 1800. And then I was like, okay, I'll do Patron if they didn't have 1800. Then after, you know, it's kind of like getting, I don't know when you were young. You ever talk back to your mom and she smacked you, you try to stand there and hold your chin up and like, that didn't hurt. But a second or third one, he's like, hey. So after I had about three rounds and already I'm peeling out hundreds, I'm like, oh, Lord, have mercy. So then I went to Jose. It wasn't much different.
Yeah.
So you drop down to Jose, you just have a worse hangover.
Especially when you're a few in at that point anyway.
Yeah, so, you know. Then all of a sudden the money just starts like, take what you need some more, here you go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But it was pretty fun. I'm not a gambler, so, you know, usually, like, you know how accurate I am on our picks? That's where that all comes from. I'll tell you what. Hey, UMBC, I don't even know what it means or the acronym.
University of Maryland.
I feel like
Baltimore County.
That's what I was gonna say.
That's what it is.
I feel like we have to acknowledge
made history, man.
The first time ever a number one seed loses to a 16 seed. I saw. I ain't gonna lie. I didn't watch the game, but I heard about it, and so I turned it on, and everybody was jumping around and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, then they lost the next game.
See, you're talking about being in Vegas. Some fellow bet $800 on that game at 20-1.
No way.
Yep. Made $16,000.
Wow.
And nice. I'm like, how would you ever do that? You're zero for 130 something.
Yeah.
How would you ever? I'll put up $800 on that team.
I don't know how to do it. But hey, listen, you guys came on. I listened to the show. Man, it was fantastic. I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you.
The only thing is that you guys came on the show right before free agency.
Yes.
So I feel like as soon as the show was over, I was on West Coast time, man. I'm over there up early in the morning. And so I started listening to the show, and like soon as you know, all the things start popping up, and I'm like, man, listen to the show, you guys. It's like the very end of where we could have come in and shared some information, and now I kind of feel like a lot of this stuff that we have is a little old. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna still talk about the impact it has on the Saints. There's still a lot of meat on the bones. There's
right.
a lot of money left. The Saints still have a good amount of money left, and there's still some good free agents out there. So
we're
gonna talk about some of these guys that we signed. What difference they can make on the team, how they're going to impact the team. And there's one big player. And this is where we usually start the show, but I'm going to go a little bit different direction here for you guys.
All right.
And this one for Tomas, because I know he's a big, big, big fan.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much
for Ma and me.
Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze.
I'm telling you, could be a big difference maker.
I don't blame him because he run and hid, but the meanest thing that he ever did was before he left, he went and named me Sue.
That's right. That's how you get mean like that.
Well, he must have thought that it was quite a joke, and it got a lot of laughs from lots of folks. Seems I had to fight my whole life through.
Wondering why he's so tough.
Some gal would giggle and I'd get red, and some guy'd laugh and I'd bust
his head. Stomp his head.
Life ain't easy for a boy named Sue.
That's right.
That's why every team needs a tough guy like that, Tomas. Adamican Sue? Come on, man. Boy named Sue. Not happening.
You know, you people, it's just amazing. I'm reading the Twitter. Everybody's got to make some little Sue kind of word. I don't know. And I'm like, really? You people, you're so infatuated with this guy. So finally, I posted after everybody's like, oh, I don't know. He went to the Tennessee Titans. Oh, we might go someplace. Oh. I'm like, can you people get over this? Can you finally step forward? Because there are other good players sitting out there that we'll miss on if you keep waiting for this guy.
Okay, now, my opinion has kind of changed on that, Heath. He comes into town. I think we were the second visit.
Yep.
Now he's all over the place.
Yeah.
Adamican Sue visiting. He went to Nashville after we got done with him.
Yeah.
And, I think
L.A.
To the Rams.
To the Rams,
he was going to the Raiders.
Before he went to the Rams, though, he had a phone conversation with Pete Carroll in Seattle.
In Seattle, that's right.
Yeah.
So they did a phone thing first before he went to...
Actually, I think he did that even before he saw the Saints, didn't he?
No, I think it was between the Saints and the Titans that he did that.
Well, one of the things that, I do believe that the guy could be a huge difference maker. The problem is, I also agree with you, for $15 million, because the word is it's going to be somewhere around.
At least he thinks it's going to be. Yeah.
No, somewhere between $12 and $15 million. The problem is, Heath, is that what he's asking for, and is that why teams are letting him go? Or is it that he really just wants to visit everybody and find out where the best fit is? Because the word on Twitter from reliable sources...
It's neither one of those things.
Okay, let's hear it. I was trying to go with... Is he going to pop in?
All right, pop in just for a second.
That's
right
all right. Go ahead.
He's just making the rounds to see how much food he can eat before he's on.
I heard he was up at Emeralds.
He was at Emeralds. He was at the Pontchartrain Hotel. I mean, hey.
And you know, hey, look.
Got some good food.
A man that they
did the
say
same
rich
thing
people
in
know how to.
Tennessee. Yeah.
They say a rich man, they know how to handle their money. So, what do you think, Heath?
You know, it's hard to tell. I can't tell whether he's literally just trying to get a bidding war going or what. I mean, I really don't. At this point, it could very well be that he just wants too much money. You know, what is he, 30 years old? 31? Would be 31, whatever.
Yeah,
and, man, I don't know.
See,
I wouldn't give him that much.
No, if he really wants
$15 million, that might be the problem.
And that's the thing. I actually got into a, I don't know, a debate with a guy on Twitter, and he's saying that, you know, to a person I was talking to, we were considering the fact that maybe that's why he's going from team to team, and they thought we were silly. Basically, they were suggesting that I'm just upset because Sue didn't sign with us and that he went on. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean, there's a part of that. If you want the guy and he moves on, but then when he moves on from that team and then moves on to another team and then has two more visits scheduled, at some point you have to ask, is he doing this because he just really wants to visit and find out when it would contradict what he actually said on Twitter, is that he doesn't care about fit. He's going to the highest bidder. Now, I'm paraphrasing, but that was the report. And he didn't say it. It was someone from the NFL Network who texted him directly, and that's what he told them.
Right.
So,
but, I mean, how's he going to know what the highest bidder is if he doesn't go visit
the same thing I say. Why do all these guys, as soon as free agency starts, they sign within the hour?
Because a lot of that starts before free agency
and
actually starts.
None of them
starts,
take visits, though. All it takes is, somebody famous said, I have a pen and a phone.
Yeah.
And you start making phone calls. Here's my guy.
Well, that's the job of your agent. The job of your agent is to go out there and troll everybody and find out who's interested and who's not. You narrow it down, and there you go. Now, I think in this case, seriously, here's what I think. And, whatever, for whatever it's worth. I think he's looking for 3 years, $50 million. I think that's what he's looking for. Okay? I believe that's what he's looking for. He's going high end as he can go and see, okay, who's going to come back with 3 years and 45, which is what he wants. But he's going to start with 350.
I don't doubt it all. Hey, listen, there's no doubt we are going to have bonus coverage. If you like the show, you miss a part of it, or you want to hear the bonus, Go to iTunes, go to Google Play, go to Podbean, download the show, like us, follow us. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio and the BS and Beer Podcast crew.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Sugar-free, gluten-free, fat-free, talent-free, and free-free, the BS and Beer Podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Listen, we're going to get it out of the way right now. We're going to have a bonus episode.
Yep.
Now, we usually don't know until the end of the show whether we're going to do it or not, because what we have left to talk about, there's so much. We are absolutely going to have bonus. Go to iTunes. Go to Google Play. Go to Podbean.
Yep.
Matter of fact, there's a guy. We're international. There's people from London,
that's
England.
Right. Dilly Dilly.
UK. Dilly Dilly. Hitting me up on Twitter. They want to listen to the show. So, listen, don't forget, you can find it that way. Matter of fact, let's talk a little bit about the hotline. 701-901-1295. Apparently, you guys, without me, you don't have the number. I get a text. I'm in Vegas. I get a text. Dave, what's the hotline number?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
we weren't
yeah.
Sure. We only had parts of the number. We were like, what's that
I know
number?
There's a one in there.
Yeah. Well, you must have called when you were doing the pub crawl, because you wind up, you talked about a whole bunch of other stuff and then answered the question when we were finishing the show.
It's a like, time change, and it's a whole time zone thing.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, hey, let's do a quick hotline call, see what some of the folks have to say. Before we do that, this is just for you, Tomas.
If I ever have a son, I think I'm going to name him Bill or George, anything but Sue.
Anything but Sue. Anything but Sue.
That's Tomas. How I feel. Anything but Sue. That's exactly how I feel.
That's how Tomas feels. I know there are a lot of people who are excited about it. Tomas, not so much.
Not so much.
Never been.
Hey, guys. This is John Nunez down in Seminole Parish. Just wanted to show Dave and Pete and Tomas, I did a hell of a job with our day. You know, looking forward to next year. Keep up the good work. I love y'all's show. Catch y'all later.
Hey, man. Thank you. What was his name? John?
John, yeah.
Thank you so much, man.
Appreciate the kind words, John, but, you know, lay off a little bit before you get on the phone there.
Sipping on Grandpa's old cough medicine just a little bit, buddy. So, hey, we loud.
No, appreciate
open-minded.
It.
Yep, you let them all on, right?
Absolutely.
But I don't know how he said y'all did a good. I don't know. I heard the show. I wasn't that impressed. So.
You weren't.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not. They're gonna push me out. I can see it coming.
Was it not good? I don't know.
Yeah, it's obvious. It's obvious. All right. So let's start off. Let's talk a little bit. DeMario Davis, first big signing. What, you laugh a little bit?
Go ahead.
Not happy?
No, I thought we were going someplace else. But go
ahead. Okay.
All right. Well.
All right. So
I can talk about anything. Go
DeMario ahead. Davis, linebacker.
Yeah.
Basically, after you look and they kind of plow through the numbers and everything, it looks like it's $9 million signing bonus, $850,000 in 2018 this coming season. So he has $18 million guaranteed.
Yeah. The
thing about is this year, about $6 million in salary. When I looked at the what linebackers are getting, he's getting paid pretty well.
Yeah.
Now, his season last year warrants those kind of numbers. The problem is he's only had one season like that.
Right.
Yeah.
So now he's always been a pretty good linebacker, solid linebacker, but last year he just blew up. I mean, sacks and 140 some odd tackles, or 130 something, you know, tackles. The guy. If he comes in and does what he did last year, we have ourselves a bona fide player. If we get anything from any other year, then we have ourselves a pretty good linebacker.
Yeah. I was going to say a Jarius Byrd situation, but
Not quite that bad.
I was going to say, I don't know that I could call
him
Byrd.
Well, his money isn't so big that, like, you know, listen, basically it's a two-year contract.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
You know, that was my thing. You know, the guy had great numbers last year. I really don't know a whole lot about him. But when I looked at the money, I kind of did a double take on that.
Okay, so, you know, just being honest, and I had a lot of time to look the guy up. You can't possibly tell me that you spent a lot of time watching Jet games
or he
played with the Browns you're like, oh, man, I just know this guy.
Yeah. And Nobody saw that, even Cleveland didn't see that.
And the thing is, it's not even really fair, because – guys go to those type of places, and they could really be stars. How many times have we seen Saints players who have all pro-type seasons not even make the Pro Bowl?
Yeah.
And so when you're playing in teams that just aren't good, a lot of times you're the forgotten man. Nobody's talking about you on the NFL Network. Nobody's bringing you up on Sirius NFL radio. Nobody's bringing you up. Nobody's talking about you,
right,
except for in the circles of your team. Now, having said that, I guess where I'm going is, man, there's a lot of negative stuff that I'm thinking here, is that the Jets didn't even offer him a contract. So there is some things here to be concerned about. Again, as long as he comes in and plays the way he did in 2017, we have ourselves a bona fide linebacker. Now, here's some more things that made me scratch my head. We just signed Klein last year to a pretty healthy contract.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have the Saints, and you can, well, no, they haven't given up. Have they given up on him yet?
No. They're going to put him on the outside.
I get it, but listen, a strong side linebacker, man, there's just not a lot of playing time for a strong side linebacker. People are like, oh, we're going to move him strong side. If you're playing a run-heavy team, maybe 25% of the snaps, if you're playing a team that runs the ball a lot, the rest of the time, you're a nickel. You're generally going to only have, let's say, two linebackers on the field.
Yeah.
And listen, as long as his body holds up, Anzalone will probably be that other linebacker. Now, maybe this is another insurance policy because of health issues.
Yeah. Well, I saw a lot of people that, you know, said basically the same thing. We signed another guy like we signed last year, you know. Not real great in the against the pass, better against the run, you know. The good thing about it is that both guys are versatile enough to swap, to switch positions, to play outside and inside.
Right.
So, you know, it's not like Klein would never see the field if he's not playing a strong side. The guy can still play in the middle.
Right. So, and thing, by the end of the season, we were down to the bottom of the depth chart. So
there's something to be said
that if you don't have high confidence in Anzalone, that maybe what they were thinking is exactly that.
Yeah.
Man, you know, maybe you have a guy like Davis at middle linebacker, and then you have Klein playing the weak side, not the strong side.
Right.
So, you know, there's a lot to be said about Klein's ability to get the defense in check, make sure that all the players in position, that the right calls got disseminated to the players properly. So there's a lot to be said about where the guys are lined up and his football knowledge, and I'm talking about Klein. And this might be more of a to be said against Anzalone and their confidence in his ability to stay healthy than it does about Klein.
And Klein, for that matter.
Well,
you know, Klein wound up injured himself.
Okay. This is one of the things we talk about, but Heath, you're like, you get injured, you're injury prone. I'm not ready to put that.
No, not that.
I'm not willing to put that on him just yet. So, I mean.
That's not what I said. I said about Anzalone because
he is injured.
He was injured multiple times in college and everything.
But Klein hasn't really proven to be injury prone
yet. No, not a history, but injured last year.
Just to defend you and your position of every player gets hurt is injury prone. No, I'm kidding. But here's the thing. He's never really been a starter in the NFL. So he's always been a backup. So, you know.
Well, he played extensively, though, when Keekly was out.
Yeah. The thing is he started games as a backup, starting in place of the starter.
Right.
But this is first year as a starter.
Yeah, because he couldn't beat out Keekly. But that doesn't mean that he's not a starter.
I'm not suggesting Klein is going to be injury prone anyway. I'm just saying, literally looking at last year, it does have something to do with the fact that we were literally down to the bottom of the barrel.
Right.
When he came.
So then another thing is we have a guy like Teo who comes in and plays pretty well. Now, listen, we all understand if you follow enough that Teo has his limitations in coverage.
Right.
But he played well against the run. He was a thumper. I think he did a good job. Now he gets pushed down a little bit further down the depth chart. Now, I don't believe that he had a big contract or it's anything to worry about. But I will say, if nothing else, that's a lot. I'm trying to find the silver lining. Yeah. Our depth has improved greatly.
Yeah, look, just go by what you usually say, right? When you take a starter and now make him second string, obviously you've improved your position, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now go back and remember, Stupar, Robertson, and even Teo were brought in to be special teamers and backups if we need them. Okay, so suddenly you had Teo starting. Suddenly you had Robertson starting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that wasn't the original game plan. Okay, and Stupar got hurt, but he played a few downs as well as a starter when he wasn't hurt. So you're looking at all of that and you're thinking, wow, you know, what about we had Freeney, we had Marty. I mean, we've had all kinds of people playing linebacker. Well, this is a good step in my opinion. I think you're going to put him in the middle. He played in the middle last year for the Jets, had an outstanding year. Now, every word that I've heard so far and read so far is that he's already learning the playbook, working hard at the gym, working hard at the facility, you know, trying to get himself acclimated to be a starter on the first day. So that to me, again, the right kind of character, the right kind of personality, the right kind of mindset. It's the kind of guy you want on the team.
Absolutely. I think absolutely, and you talked about this a little bit with Sue, completely opposite of the attitude that Sue was bringing. This guy's like, I sign, I'm excited. You know, he makes you feel like he wants to be part of a team, part of a winner. You know, he hasn't been on a winning team.
That's correct.
Since he's been in the league. Yeah. You know, he's played with the Jets. He's played with the Browns. Not a lot of success in either one of those franchises. Yeah. He's excited to play with a guy like Drew Brees. Now, switching gears just a little bit, we're getting the band back together. We bring him back, Patrick Robinson.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing. I know people have a lot of that. Listen, I don't think he was I think our cornerbacks have been so bad for so long that I don't know what bad really was, because he wasn't as bad as some other guys. Like, he wasn't as bad as Browner. He wasn't bad as, what was that kid, Jason David?
Yeah.
Yeah. So my point is, it's like.
Vivian Lee. You know, going like, all the way back?
It's like dating ugly women all the time. You know, it's like, he was, you know, he was ugly too, but it's hard when you found a bunch of. No? All right. I'm not getting my.
Did
just
you have
me,
enough
huh?
beers? We got your beer goggles
just
on.
Yeah, well, I just got back from Vegas. Yeah, that, yeah. So here's the thing. Patrick Robertson passer rating against, when covering the slot last year, 64.96. The Saints as a whole, and I'm getting this from Nick Underhill, by the way. I'm just reading this from a tweet that I actually took a screenshot of. Saints as a whole, when covering the slot, 94.23.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, it's a huge weakness. Now, whether or not he comes back, and this can open up a whole nother can of worms, because I saw some stuff about him, you know, fighting for a starting spot. I don't believe that at all. I believe Crawley has proven and locked down, unless he regresses, he's going to be the outside corner, because I don't think Crawley's really built physically to play the slot anyway. He's not a great tackler. He's not a physical guy. Well, I mean, he is physical, but just his build. He's long. He's skinny. Patrick Robinson feels a need left by the fact that Vaccaro.
Well, not only that, he feels a need that none of the other cornerbacks that came to play the slot could play the slot. And so we ended up having to put Vaccaro up. I mean, it completely changed the defensive philosophy. Again, if you have two corners who can play, you don't have to roll the safeties up. You have somebody who can come in and play the slot, don't have to roll the safety up. All of a sudden, your safeties are playing a lot different. You know, all of a sudden, your linebackers have a deeper drop. I mean, it all affects the team if you have, and I really think that that's the thing. P-Rob is not coming in to fight for the corner. P-Rob is coming in to take over the slot position. So,
right.
Peanut butter and jelly, sorry, buddy.
No, I think there's still a spot for him, and I have some hope left. I have some hope. I still have hope that he can get better.
I still have hope
they're
going to re-sign Bro. So
and you know what? Back to there's so much information out there right now. Bro tweets out, I just want to come back home.
Yep.
And it literally made me feel bad for the guy. You know, usually I'm like, hey, it's a business. You know, the guy wants to play in New Orleans, and I don't know if it has something to do. Didn't he took a couple of visits, I think, Denver and
– And the Patriots.
And the Patriots.
New England.
Yeah.
Denver,
yeah. And is he done with those visits? He's, he's back
home. Yeah,
well,
right after that, he tweeted out, I want to stay home. So, I mean,
who the hell wants to play either one of those places in that cold?
Well, I mean, or he went over there, and they were like, hey, league minimum, and he's just like, well, at least the Saints offered me 1.2, you know what I'm saying?
He got off the plane in those places, and that Frankenneckie's guy going on, stepping up on him. Man, I got to get back in the dome.
Oh, he's like, I got to get back to that warm climate.
I can't turn my head, and I'm limping. Hell, I got to get back to the heat.
And of the three guys who the Saints could have potentially extended those offers to, only Snead was offered.
Right.
Brandon Coleman was not offered.
Right.
And I'm just.
But there's been no interest at all in Coleman.
And then Bro, he's made a couple of visits. But
and there's really been no interest in Vaccaro either.
Well,
I think.
Go ahead.
No, well, I think this is why the Saints didn't tender Bro. They said, we don't think he's going to be much of a market for him. We want to see. Let him go out there and take a look. He went out and took a look. He said he wants to come back home. The Saints are now in a power position.
Yeah, hey. I can see him coming. Because to me, man, I know it's 2 years ago. I still think of him as a good player that's just had some injuries. And here's the thing. If he comes in, he competes, and he's a backup, is that a bad backup?
No.
No.
You know, is that a guy
no.
that, like, hey, man, he gets banged up, but, man, we need him for two games instead of, you know, again, these guys who are coming on and off of our roster during injuries 2 years ago, I can't even remember their names. The one kid with the dreadlocks that came out there, I mean – during that stretch. I mean, I don't even.
He was at Tennessee. I can't think. That's who was.
Yeah,
to
I mean,
of his
you
name.
Know, and then yeah, was it Moore?
Webb? Is that
Webb? That's it. That's Webb.
That's it. Webb.
I mean, these guys
Webb.
Are coming off the street and they're playing. Like, wouldn't you much prefer to be able
and
to
then
say?
And then we just re-signed Devontae Harris to a.
Oh,
you
know, dude, I
look, just
see
take
that. Why
his
you gotta
money,
tell me that and ruin my day right now?
Take Devontae's money, Sterling Moore's money, and we can sign, bro. I yeah. think it's better than these guys.
I mean,
you know?
Listen, and here's the thing I say, and I know it don't always work this way, but like, look, if you're going to be a backup guy and you're a little injury prone, okay, listen, he's good. Just let him sit until we need him. You
exactly.
know what I'm saying? Just like Ellerby. I used to say, man, if he's that good, just let him play on third downs or in the fourth quarter or in the last four games of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy can't stay healthy. You yeah. know, with a guy like Bro, you bring him back. Man, if he's not a starter –
yeah.
Then, you know, lessens his chance of getting injured. But, okay, I go back, and this is back to picking on you. It's like, I want to say, look, he broke his leg, and then they misdiagnosed it. Does that mean he's injury prone? But
wait,
then
he broke his neck.
Well, okay. So then you make those points. Well, he does it every year, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. And, okay,
now, in this case, with the whole misdiagnosis, you know, that one's a lot harder to try to get a handle on.
But apparently yeah. the Saints agree because they're like, nah, I'm not going to offer you anything.
Well, I mean, just think they really just think that they said, look, this guy was hurt, and let him, you know, let's see what the market says.
Hey, it's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting started, getting it cranked up. We come back. We got more free agency to talk about, maybe some Jimmy Graham. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
Every breath you take.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer Podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer Podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Sports Talk Radio 97.7. I brought up Jimmy Graham as we were going out of the last segment before break. Tomas threw a fit. I mean, yeah. I just said the man's name, Tomas. See, Tomas, I think we need Jimmy Graham and Sue. A boy named Sue, and just that will put us over the edge.
Yeah, sure would. It put me over the edge.
It did. It did. Listen, we lost out on Jimmy Graham. Basically, it looks like he, you know, it was 3-year, $30 million. What's interesting is we missed out on talking about these things last week because we went to air right before free agency started.
Right.
But the good thing is that a lot of information has come out since. So yeah. We got more contract details. Basically, Jimmy Graham has $13 million guaranteed of that $30 million. And some things that I've heard, and, you know, not trying to get into that inside source thing, but things that I've read, things that I've heard from the local guys and some of the national guys, is that I don't think that Jimmy Graham really has that much left in the tank. And so looks like he got a contract that was basically a big one-year contract. Yeah. So maybe, again, we keep thinking – or at least Saints fans think, man, we lost out on that guy. Did we really? Or no. Did we just decide that, you know what, we got eight for you, Jimmy. Oh, you got 10 over there? Okay, thanks for coming by. We appreciate you. Yeah. Same thing with Sue. You know, we can debate this, and until it actually comes together, I'm now inclined to believe that this has more to do with Sue not being able to get his number. Because just, I don't know, and Heath, you brought up a good point. Let's look back in his history, which I don't know the answer. Did he do this last time before he went to Miami? Did he go running around every team? Tomas seems to recall that. I don't really.
A few teams.
Yeah, you know, but.
Because I mean, he didn't go directly from Detroit to Miami. I know he looked at some, I want to say the Jets was one of the teams that he went to go have a little meet with, you know.
So, you know, but this time we're talking about at least, you have, who was before the Saints? He went somewhere before the Saints. No? Then okay, Saints, we have Tennessee, we have he spoke
Rams.
To Seattle, Rams, and he's going to the Raiders.
Yeah.
That's five teams, and I'm almost
so far.
And I'm almost confident.
And he had a phone conversation extended with
Seattle.
Pete Carroll.
Yeah.
Right.
Now, I can't remember, but I know he spoke to somebody before he came here. We were not the first visit.
No, we weren't. I'm trying to remember who.
Man, I can't remember for the life of me who he went to visit first. But listen, these teams, I think, are just not giving him the number that he's looking for, and that's why the search continues. Because we talked about it. The agent, that's his job, to go out, shake the trees, and find out what deal's out there.
Right.
If Sue's like, they're like, listen, I got a deal for you. This one's going to be about $11 million. This one over here is $12 million, blah, 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 blah. Then Sue says no. Well, hey, look, if you want to try to squeeze something out of them, you're going to have to go sit in front of them and convince them that they should give you $14 or $15 million. Maybe they do fall in love with you. Maybe you do say the right thing. Maybe that team decides, man, we can squeeze out another $2 million from this or that or the other, or not sign this guy, or,
yeah,
you know, whatever. So I'm starting to believe that, and now I don't want to be accused like I've been accused on Twitter of just saying that because he's not signing with us. But you just have to believe that these guys are professionals. These GMs and agents, they know each other. They have history. They're like, right, hey, you know, what you thinking on this? And they're talking. You know, they got each other's number on speed dial. The man does not need to go and sit down with six or seven or eight teams unless there's something else going on. I've come to that conclusion now.
Yeah. I think it's fair. You know, I think a lot of these teams, I think the Saints are one of them. They, you throw your line out there. You got your depth set. And, you know, if you don't go for it, well, okay, you know.
Let's see. No, you're right. You throw it out there. Let's see what he says.
And my only thing is that you're wasting time because there are other free agents still available that might actually fit into what we're looking for. And by hesitating, waiting for this big, huge contract that it'd kill whatever money we have left, the Saints should just say, you know, hey, we've made our pitch. Obviously, we're not going to stand around waiting for you. You're going to add some more teams. You're going to see the Rams. You're going to see the Raiders. Then you're going to go see whoever, you know. Go to Canada and see some of the Canadian teams. I mean, whatever it is you're going to do.
Yeah.
We don't have any more time for this, you know, so.
It makes me wonder if the Saints didn't really have defensive tackle high on their priority, but it was Sue. We'll throw a line out there. If there's interest, if we can sell him on Breeze and where we are as a team, great.
Right.
If we don't, great.
Yeah, and the thing about it is they don't ever come out and give
you. And that's
you
why
conclusion.
They haven't gone after these other players. Who you got there? Hankins, I know, probably be one of them.
The three defensive tackles that are still out there, Jonathan Hankins, Benny Logan, and Sylvester Williams.
Yeah, there was no word about the Saints with Sheldon Richardson or any of these other guys. No. So, I mean, you know.
And like I said, of these three guys that are left, Hankins, he plays good against the run. He plays good against the pass. So,
yeah.
You know, he'd be, and again, he's an Ohio State guy, so there you go.
Oh, well, that's automatic.
Yeah, surprising here. Right?
Now, I don't know, I'm getting a little irritated now. It's like, if the guy went to Ohio State, then he's going to be a Saint. Like, are you starting to see the national guys?
Well, now, hold on now, because I'm going to tell you, you have to listen to the bonus coverage.
Right.
But I'm going to give you today the 2.0.
You going to tease us?
2.0. Oh, and right. You never know, things may have changed.
Oh, I see. All right.
Because now it takes care of free agency, too. So, you know. Yeah.
To switch gears a little bit, Tomas, you know I'm not one to say, I told you so. You know that's not my personality. but let's see. Let me pull out. Hold on. Let me get this contract information. Senor Calamente takes off. Looks like I don't know. There's a lot of numbers here, but. He signed another deal. He's gone. He's gonna be a starter.
But I will tell you that Mickey Loomis really did try hard to keep him.
No,
that's
no.
The word out there. He offered him more money than a backup guy.
And even Calamente said, and I think that this is where it's get convoluted. I don't know if you even remember our debate. Is that I just felt like the Saints won't be able to keep him because somebody's going to offer him enough money that'll be starter money that the Saints can't. But they turn around and they signed Jermon Bushrod.
Yeah.
Now here's a guy that. You know, listen, I haven't really watched him play, and I haven't spent a lot of time trying to figure out what he still has left in the tank. But he's a guy who has played tackle at a Pro Bowl level, and he's played guard, and he's been a starter in the league. Hey, he doesn't play center, but
right.
You have, I mean, I'll tell you a viable backup.
Well, I'll tell you who he is.
All right.
Jari Evans.
You think that level of player still?
Where he is now.
Right.
Remember what we said. As long as you're in a refrigerator, as long as you're in a telephone booth, you're good.
You're good. Yeah. As long as he doesn't have to move his feet too much. And listen, anytime you get to that age, you know.
But it's experience.
Yeah.
And it's a guy who's played both tackle and guard. And so it fits the bill of, you know, a swing guy that they can use.
I think it was a good signing.
Oh,
we
yeah.
got a guy, like you said, is a swing guy. He doesn't just play one position.
No.
And I think with the way that the Saints feel about Tom, at center.
And or Laribas.
And Laribas is still, I think he's another guy that's a good, solid NFL guard. He plays center.
Right.
So the only difference is when you have a Calamente, Calamente, I'm sorry, I got called out for that. Calamente, and watch, I'm saying it wrong again. No. Well, anyway, when you have a guy like that, he plays center, he plays guard, and he can, in a pinch, play tackle. Man, it's so valuable not to have to keep an extra guy on game day.
Yeah.
You know, so and the roster spot too. But, you know, at this point, I feel like we've filled the hole very well. So I'm happy with that. So looking at his contract, he's had a $2.25 million signing bonus, salaries of $1.25, then $2.75, and then $2.75. And a $1.5 million roster bonus. I started to read this off a little bit earlier when I first started talking. Like, man, that's a lot of numbers. The point is, you know, it's entry level. I would say, man, that's more like high backup numbers.
That's all it is. That's really all it is.
I don't know if that's starter money. And it's almost like, look, man, I'll pay you $8 an hour. But then during Christmas, I'll give you a $200 bonus. And if we get the Johnson account, I'll give you another $50. Yeah. It's like they're scraping money from all over the place trying to find a way to pay him
something.
And then
what part of it is buyout? What part of it is, you know, guaranteed?
Guaranteed. You mean? All right. So there you go. There's Senyo's contract. Bushrod, you were saying, Tomas, about what, 1.5, 1.1? So, you know, okay. I mean, you're not going to get him much cheaper than that. Matter of fact, that sounds like it's less than league minimum for a guy with that many years. But work out a special contract. It is what it is. All right. So I think offensive line, backup, settled. The thing that I'm more concerned about, we're sitting here, we're talking Jimmy Graham, then we talk about Adamican Sue. We didn't get Graham. What are we going to do about that third down efficiency? That, to me, is still the biggest weakness on the team. And the Saints, at this point, every tight end that came loose when we did the show 2 weeks ago, that's all I was talking about. You know, Julius Thomas is available. Then, you know, all these different guys, some of them signed. Yeah. Matter of fact, Ebron just signed. And actually, I was surprised. All the bad stuff we hear from not only, I don't know, Saints fans, but then also from Gary.
Yeah.
Man, he signed for a $7+ million deal.
Yeah, so, because of his potential.
Yeah,
the guy's got all the athletic potential. Yeah, I mean, it's like he has everything there. He was just so inconsistent.
And he's still young.
Yeah.
So you wonder if, I mean, what's he like, 25?
25 or 26
or something.
He's
getting his first. He's getting his first big contract, and he's just now 25 years old.
Yeah.
So
lots here's what I'm going to tell you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Real quick here. Very simple. What you and so many fans think is a glaring weakness at tight end, perhaps the coaching staff is looking at it and go, we can make do with what we got and maybe pick something up in the draft that'll satisfy the need.
No, I mean, okay.
Better than what's floating out
there. I'm about to say something that would be pure speculation. That's what, you know, is I think that what they're saying is, hey, we don't like what's out there.
Right.
It's not going to really improve our team.
Correct.
You know, we like Josh Hill, not as a starter, as a difference maker, but we like him.
Yeah.
The guys out there, Safarian Jenkins,
he signed.
He signed for. Mm. But here's the thing, is they might just be saying, look, that's going to be our main priority. Maybe not necessarily in the first round, but we are going to navigate the draft until we can get one of these tight ends.
Well, 1.0, I said that they would get the tight end.
That's right.
Goddard.
Now, hey, it's the BS and Beard podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson, San Tomas Mauricio. We'll be right back. Close this show out. We got bonus coverage this week. 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Come on, Horns. Give it to us.
Yeah. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio here on Sports Talk 97.7 FM. We have been talking all kinds of free agency. Now we're talking about, well, at least I wanted to. I want to talk about tight ends, third down efficiency, and you guys started talking about these guys that, you know, we looked at, and maybe it's the draft. Before we get to that, don't forget, you can give us a call, be part of the show. The Graffiti Hotline, 701-901-1295. We're going to have bonus coverage this week. We still have so much to talk about. Tomas has his mock draft 2.0.
Ready. And
The
rant.
Oh, okay. That was something that just happened after, what, the second segment?
Yeah.
Tomas got all upset. Got a hangnail, splinter, or something, and he's ready to have a rant. So we're going to have bonus coverage. Listen, you should be downloading our podcast anyway. In case you miss part of the show, you know, you're sitting there, you're at the grocery store, you're listening to it, you're all interested. The wife wants you to get down and get the formula and the diapers. And you like, honey, I'm trying to get this. And she's getting cranky. You know, you got... Download the podcast. You can listen to it anytime you want. Get the whole scoop. And when we have bonus coverage, like remember, we it might be a thing. I'm not sure, but we have the man on the beach. We could have something like I almost did Man on the Strip in Vegas. I was encouraged to do that.
Probably in California in June.
You know what? We can do Man in California.
There you go.
Yeah, we can do all kinds of stuff. Manly stuff. Man in whatever. Just insert wherever vacation.
Man at the jazz concert.
Yeah, there you go. Whatever. I don't know how interesting that would be, but I'm sure if you were doing it.
Yes, sir.
It would be interesting. So don't forget, download that podcast. Matter of fact, while we're doing this, Heath, what's your Twitter account?
Got Nothing BS.
Oh, man, I'll remember where that came from. We got to get that out of
the
board.
Right.
People not even going to, since we started on the radio.
I know.
People don't even know what you're talking about.
I know. It's just it's how it goes. I switched to that name, and then all of a sudden I discovered I had stuff to say.
Tomas, give us your Twitter.
I'm BS and Beer Huda.
And I am... at Saints BS.
There you go.
So listen, follow us. We talk Saints football nonstop. If that's you, if you're a Saints football guy, you know, a little bit of NFL, we talk about the things going on. If you want to have some good Saints conversation, follow us on Twitter. We'll have fun with it. So we were looking for a way to convert third downs. Now, I said that. Tomas didn't seem so excited about it, which he never is. That's, I mean, no matter what I say, you know, that's why they're trying to run me out of here. I'm telling you, I go to Vegas for a week. We had about, and this is no joke, we had maybe 10 new followers on Podbean that follow the show that week, and it was very discouraging for me. So I was trying to delete it. I couldn't figure out how to delete them. Trying to discourage people. Y'all don't want to listen this week, but y'all apparently very popular.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, that's good to know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Don't get carried away.
Yeah, that'll come up in contract negotiations.
There you go.
So one of the things I saw, what's the kid's name? Is it Gasecki?
I think so.
Is that close?
From Penn State?
Yeah, from Penn State.
I think that's how it's pronounced.
His spark. Now, this is... you know, I don't say new, but, you know, fairly recent, last, you know, several years, a way to measure athleticism, and the guy is off the charts. Now, having said that, I don't know if what exactly that's going to do for him, because now if he's that athletic, I still see most everyone looking at him as a second rounder. There is no tight end that people are expecting at this point.
I've seen him mocked to the Saints in a few
towards the end of the first round.
Yeah, at 27. Yeah.
So the other guy that I like is the kid. Is it Andrews? Mark Andrews from Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Now they say that he is a Witten 2.0.
Yeah.
And if you remember the one day I was telling y'all about my, I don't know if it was a real dream, but I was just daydreaming about if I'm gonna have a tight end. I want a guy that can run up the field 5 yards, 4 yards, turn around, catch the ball, and get a first down. Because to me, that is the biggest difference between the Saints being what they were in 2017 and being a true NFL contender in 18, is just to be able to get that third down conversion where it usually is. Not
the Saints,
not better, just where we just had this drop off, and I think it's from a lack of skill players.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints used to lead the league. Year in and year out, in third down efficiency, and now when you know not so good, and you know I think it's missing in the tight end position, and then also with the slot. You know, we haven't had that production from those two positions.
Well, this whole year we lacked the fact that Snead just basically disappeared.
Yeah,
and so there's still hope. Look, of the three guys that we tendered, Snead was the only one that we actually I said that wrong. Of the three guys that we could potentially have tendered, Snead was the only one that we did tender. And I think the Saints believe that there's still potential there and opportunity. The guy has shown he is capable.
Yeah.
Whatever happened in 2017, he's gotten a rude awakening because he should have been working on a real contract. Now he's going to be playing for like 1.8, if I'm not mistaken, is the tender that they gave him.
Yeah, something like
that. And he should have been working on a $5, $6 million. Maybe that's a little bit high, but let's say $4 to $5 million deal.
Yeah.
And he could have been that Lance Moore type guy in our offense that, while you know he wouldn't necessarily be a starter on every team, he's invaluable to the Saints.
Right.
All right, well, you know, if you want to go back to the tight ends, I'll say my little blurb about the tight end.
Let's hear it.
All right. So I'm 1.0. I had Dallas Goedert from South Dakota State.
Right.
Okay.
The powerhouse that is.
6'4", 260. I thought that was a good size, got good hands, and do a lot of things. But if I were going to look for a tight end who wasn't going to be a first-round draft choice, my guy, who I said originally, is Dalton Schultz. He's the kid from Stanford. 6'5", 244.
He's another one. I mean,
he's the guy that they talk about being like Witt.
There are like a half dozen guys that that's going to be there somewhere between late first and mid third round.
Yeah, you got Gesicki. Another kid is this who's been moving up is Hayden Hurst from South Carolina.
Another guy,
6'4", 250.
I mean, just about all these guys would at least. This is where this whole conversation started. All these free agents left on the market right now, are any of them worth signing?
No, not at the dollars, considering that you're going to have a locked-in contract because of the draft. You know, and I've said this before, you're going to win by having a handful of veterans and then a bunch of people who are in their second or third year in that initial contract. Those are going to be the teams that are going to be fighting for playoffs and for Super Bowl. Teams that are loaded down with big contracts aren't going to make it. You know, too much money, not enough good players. And I think you're seeing that. Like, for example, the safeties. All these safeties that came out, you realize that the numbers for safeties are way lower than they expected at the very beginning. And part of that is because people are saying, well, hold on a second. This year's draft is filled with DBs and safeties that are running at speeds that are faster than DBs. You know, they have more skills at safety than some of the DBs just a few years ago. So why sign this guy for big money when I can draft somebody? So,
that's the thing. Believe me, you have a player personnel department. Then you have the scouting department, the college scouting department.
Yep.
And they're looking at these things and they're saying, hey, is that guy better than someone who I can get in the third round?
Yep.
And if the answer is no, or here's the other thing. Let's take a guy, and I alluded to it early and the conversation went in a different way. But when you have a guy like Kenny Vaccaro, okay, we all thought, and I still think he's a pretty good ball player, but apparently the NFL does not think that he is worth even worrying about at this point in the game. And there's still, matter of fact, even the Honey Badgers sat out there and ended up taking less money than he was offered in Arizona.
Yep.
So the market for safety is just soft right now. They'll sign eventually. Having said that, Vaccaro, you know, he might be down looking at, you know, $2 or $3 million a year.
Damn.
Matter of fact, I don't know how the Saints feel about him, but they might be like, $3 million, we can bring him back. And I don't know if I'd be disappointed at it. But it also makes me think about all those times where Vaccaro failed in zone coverage. Or couldn't cover a tight end, and maybe he wasn't as good as even we thought he was. Maybe we were giving him more benefit of the doubt than we even realized. He was a first-round draft pick. We want him to be good.
Right.
We want him to be a playmaker, and he had his moments. But then he also had a lot of moments where he wasn't very good. And now all of a sudden, the rest of the NFL is kind of showing us exactly what Kenny Vaccaro, or they think of Kenny Vaccaro.
Yeah.
So, hey, and if I can get a guy in the third round, fourth round, that maybe is not quite Kenny Vaccaro in certain aspects, but he's only going to cost me, you know, $600,000-$800,000 a year for the next 4 years.
Yeah,
I'd much rather take him.
Sure, absolutely. And like I said, when you looked at the combine, I just pulled up this piece of paper and right, I had four guys from safety positions, two from Alabama, one from Florida State, one from Arizona. These guys are exception. So if you needed a safety, there you go. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Have 8 defensive backs, cornerbacks. Some of whom could probably swap over to safety. So you got 12 guys right here who are going to be playing for less than $1 million a year. So why should you go with paying a lot more money that you don't have to? You see? So unless you're on the verge of going to Super Bowl, then you might say, I might bite the bullet for
especially
one
with a guy like Vaccaro at safety that has, quite frankly, a limited skill set at safety.
Yeah.
Well, a lot of times,
which more resembles a linebacker than
And that's the thing. He's evolved into a small linebacker.
Yeah, and we got another one of those guys now.
Well, Bell,
it looks like Bell's heading in the same direction.
Yeah, and I'm a little bit worried.
I mean, look at what the Saints did. They went out and signed a top slot guy, bringing P-Rob back home, and then they turned around and signed another safety
Coleman
that has more coverage ability. A guy that plays deep and then with the linebacker, even Davis is part of that. We talked about the three safety set thing and all that. The Saints have obviously said we're moving away from that.
And that's
emphatically.
It absolutely looks like that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
And if Vaccaro and Bell, they're just too similar.
Yeah,
they're just too similar. Yeah. And the thing is, though, I don't know.
Bell is young. I don't necessarily think he's going in.
No, but that's another point, though. You know? He's young and he's on that.
I don't know if he's really on that track. I think he might look to be on that track simply because of, again, you remember the first couple of games this past season, we had Vaccaro in the wrong place. I mean, they played Vaccaro in a place that he could not play.
Yeah. All right, hey, that's all the show that we have for you. Don't forget.
What?
It caught up on us quick here. Don't forget, we have bonus covers this week. So download the podcast on Google Play or iTunes or even Podbean. So for Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer Podcast on 97.7 Sports Talk Radio.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Oh boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh girl, give your time to Davey, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday, so don't miss. We do this every week, every Wednesday, so don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast, oh. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast.